So the theme that we've been exploring for the month of May is compassion. When I planned the service for May, I realized that the Muslim holy month of Ramadan began this year at the end of May. So I decided to explore the connections between Ramadan and compassion in this, the last service in May. The first sermon in May was about the acceptance of others, just as they are. When we can do that, we're giving up the desire to have control over others and to make them over into our vision of what is good. Remember that idea of giving up control. It'll recur later when I talk about Ramadan. Second sermon in May was on Mother's Day. And the obvious ties that compassion between compassion and Mother's Day that come forward. A strict interpretation of Islam, those who would interpret Islam strictly, provide no space for Mother's Day, a culturally Christian celebration, or, as some would say, for Muslims, every day is Mother's Day. By way of review, I remind you that Karen Armstrong's comment, compassion doesn't mean feeling sorry for people. It doesn't mean pity. It means putting yourself in the position of the other, learning about the other, learning what's motivating the other, learning about their grievances, understanding their pain and their humanity. Karen Armstrong asserts, the principle of compassion lies at the heart of all religious, ethical, and spiritual traditions. By any measure, Ramadan is one of the most important ethical and spiritual traditions in the world. A report by the Pew Foundation in 2010 said that Christianity was by far the world's largest religion, with an estimated 2.2 billion adherents. Nearly a third, 31%, of all the 6.9 billion people on earth at the time. The Pew report said that Islam was second, with 1.6 billion adherents, or 23% of the global population. When I consider interfaith religious work, I like to understand the spiritual practices of the other religions. I'm not particularly interested in what is written in the Holy Scriptures of a faith tradition. I'm much more interested in the spiritual practice of its adherents and how those practices affect their lives. And Islam, in particular, is rich in spiritual practices. Having said that, I want to be clear that I'm not an Islamic scholar and I make no pretense in that regard. And this is not a scholarly presentation by any means. Unitarian Universalism, by contrast, is relatively barren of unique spiritual practices. But we are free to explore and to adapt and to develop our own personal and individual spiritual practices. And the fasting of Ramadan is one practice that some UUs have adopted. Ramadan is the ninth month of the Islamic calendar, based on the cycle of the moon. And unlike the Jewish calendar, the Islamic calendar contains no mechanism to keep the calendar in sync with the seasons of the year. And thus the date of Ramadan and all Islamic holidays move up year to year on the Julian calendar, the secular or the Christian standard. During the month of Ramadan, Muslims refrain from eating, drinking, smoking, and engaging in sexual activity from sunup to sundown. Muslims are also instructed to refrain from sinful behavior that may negate the reward of fasting, such things as cursing and lying and fighting. Food and drink are served daily before dawn and then again after sunset, referred to as suhoor and iftar, respectively, dawn and sunset. Spiritual rewards for fasting are also believed to be multiplied within the month of Ramadan. Fasting for Muslims during the Ramadan typically includes the increased offering of prayers, recitation of the Quran, and an increase in doing good deeds and charity. As you heard during our collection this morning, charitable giving, or zakat, is the third of the five pillars of Islam. And I selected the hymn this morning, When the Poor Ones, played earlier by the After Choir, as a reflection of this aspect of Ramadan. Zakat requires that Muslims contribute a percentage of their assets every year to charity. And that donation is often made during Ramadan. I find it interesting that the calculation of the zakat is not based on income. It's rather based on total assets. A different percentage is required for different categories of assets, such as cash or jewelry or real estate, etc. And there are online calculators available to help the devout and the tech-savvy Muslim to calculate his or her fair share. So, as I read this, my mind went off on a bit of a tangent, and forgive me. I thought immediately of the controversy in our own faith tradition at the moment. It's not a controversy, it's kind of grappling with a problem we have about calculating the fair share that each congregation should submit to the Canadian Unitarian Council. In case you're not familiar with the situation, our fair share, or annual pledge, annual program contribution, is now a fixed amount of money for every member of the congregation. Unfortunately, such calculation does not take into account the means of the congregation, and it encourages congregations to cull their membership lists, so that we're the only religious faith tradition that I know of that works hard to reduce the number of adherents that we come to. So it occurred to me that a contribution calculated like zakat, based on the assets of the congregation, makes for an interesting alternative. Okay, back to the topic of Ramadan and compassion. Unitarian Universalists draw on six sources of inspiration, formally. The third source of Unitarian Universalist inspiration is wisdom from the world's religions, which inspire us in our ethical and spiritual life. It follows then that some you use adopt regular fasting as a spiritual practice, and some adhere to the ritual of fasting during Ramadan specifically. The Reverend Abhi Janamanshi is a UU minister and a Hindu Unitarian. Abhi has adopted Ramadan fasting as part of his spiritual practice. On this topic he writes, "As a Unitarian Universalist, I believe in the primacy of reason, conscience, and freedom. But I know that the biggest obstacle standing in my way of living freely, reasonably and compassionately, is my own ego, my selfishness, my unquenchable desire. I've tended to fill my spiritual hunger with food and drink, with material comforts, with stuff, and with tasks, and with distractions like television." He quotes a Zulu proverb that says, "You cannot see the truth with a stuffed belly." And as a religious liberal who is on a search for truth and meaning, I hope that fasting will help me to glimpse the truth. This perspective from Abhi Janamanshi offers insight into the underlying premise of Unitarian Universalism, that people of disparate faith traditions or none can learn from one another. In preparing for this sermon, I came across this comment on humanism in Islam. "Muslim scholars reject the basic philosophical premise of humanism, that humans, rather than God, are the measure of all things, and that all intrinsic moral values are derived from human desires and human needs." I suspect as a few humanists want to debate that with me right now. I think it would be interesting to pursue that definition of humanism, a belief that humans, rather than God, are the measure of all things, and that all intrinsic moral values are derived from human desires and human needs. Islam, like other Semitic religions, teaches that God is the ultimate source of all moral values. However, some modern Muslim scholars argue that the core values emphasized by humanisms, such as the dignity of each human being, individual liberty, freedom of choice consistent with collective good, and participatory democracy, human rights, social justice, and rational inquiry are all compatible with the Islamic worldview. These scholars reject secular humanism's philosophical foundations, but share humanism's quest for a more humane, just, and compassionate society. So I hope that my message this morning encourages you to investigate your own spiritual practices and perhaps to look at Ramadan with fresh eyes. May it be so, and amen.